It is a great blessing to know strengthening and healing from the Lord. I was grateful for my son Jeremiah preaching last Lord's Day. And I have to say that I am very thankful to have strength again to preach on the Lord's Day, morning and evening. And this is the first time in a while, I believe. So I am very grateful for the Lord giving strength. But Jeremiah preached last Lord's Day on Isaiah chapter 6, seeing the glory of God, the Lord high and lifted up. And that is such a good theme for the new year. Seeing the Lord high and lifted up. The Lord Jesus referred to himself being lifted up. And so that is what we are turning to today. In John's Gospel, Chapter 19, if you would turn with me there, please. We will refer to the Gospel of Mark. Mark has a very abbreviated account of what we are considering here. John has the fullest account of this matter as far as the Gospel historians go. John chapter 19, we're going to begin reading at verse 17, John 19 and verse 17, and let us hear God's eternal word. John 19, 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh or near to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 22. And we trust that the Lord will bless our meditation upon his word today, that his word would find not only lodging in our hearts, but that his word would work effectually in our hearts this day, by his Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. As I said a moment ago, the Apostle John gives the fullest account regarding this matter of the title, or the superscription, as Luke calls it, that was fixed on the cross above the head of the crucified Jesus. It's most interesting to study all of the gospel histories, the four of them, on this very matter. Matthew wrote, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Mark very briefly recorded, the King of the Jews. Mark also labeled it as an accusation. Luke wrote, this is the King of the Jews. And you've seen what John says in our text, right here, in the verse 19, the words that are in bold print. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. None of these accounts contradict each other. So we might legitimately ask the question, why is the wording different? Verse 20 gives us the clue. Let's notice verse 20. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Three languages. There were these lines written on this superscription or title in these three different languages. So they were distinct lines of different languages. Now, each language takes a different number of words to express the same message. If you have ever studied another language, you know that it's not always a word-for-word thing. Any of the three languages that were written there above Jesus' head, when they are put into English, take even more words. If you have ever studied Latin, then you know that Latin does not have either a definite article or an indefinite article, meaning words like the, a, and. Brother A.W. Pink wrote some very good advice here for us in regard to these four accounts of the same superscription or title. Brother Pink said, the Holy Spirit moved these four gospel historians to translate one of the three languages for us. Most likely, Pink says, Matthew translated the Hebrew line. Luke most likely translated the Greek line. And John most likely translated the Latin line. And Mark, in his abbreviated history, quoted part of John's translation. A very interesting explanation, because we know they were three different languages. So which one are you going to quote? All right, let us consider, first of all, the Roman customs. There are a couple of the Roman customs that are very evident here in this activity on the little hill Golgotha. Crucifixion was a horrible Roman punishment. If you notice verse 18, we have three words there. They crucified him. Every one of the gospel writers put it in those same three words. They may have used another word or two around them, but they used those three words very discreetly, very modestly, not going into gory detail. The cruel soldiers drove those dirty, rough spikes into our Savior's hands and feet. What did Thomas say? I will not believe unless I can touch those nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. In the tender flesh, they fit those sharp nails between the bones in his hands and feet. What terrible anguish and pain our Savior bore for us on the cross, hanging there in that manner. The custom of posting what a felon's crime was above his head was the common Roman practice. This was a commendable practice for the truly guilty. Very good thing. A public execution
with public awareness of the crime, what does it do? It tends to restrain and warn others to fear the just consequences of evil. There is nothing wrong. We have grown so different in the modern world. But public executions were once a common thing. And because sentence is not carried out against the wicked speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. God says that. And so it was a good thing to have public executions and to have the crime listed above the felon to warn and to strike fear so that there be restraint from evil. However, posting Christ's crime, King of the Jews, was no crime at all. Rather, Christ is the King of the Jews. Christ is the King of the Gentiles. Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords over all of His creation. He was prophesied from Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 that He, Shiloh, whose right it is to hold the universal sovereign scepter in His hands. The government is upon His shoulder, Isaiah 9:6. He must reign until all His enemies are subdued. When He was born in Bethlehem, the wise men ask, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" And only a few days before He was nailed to that cross, He had come into Jerusalem riding upon the colt, and the multitudes were sounding out, shouting His praise as the one born the King of Israel. Hosanna to the King of Israel. Indeed, that was His only crime. And it was no crime at all. This was our Lord Jesus Christ. He is always the one who only did good. Never did He commit any crime. Never did He any evil. He always went about doing good. He delivered slaves from sin's terrible bondage. He brought comfort to families by raising their deceased loved ones. He healed multitudes of poor people with all manner of diseases and infirmities. He fed thousands upon thousands of hungry people with just a handful of food. Christ liberated the demon-possessed. He taught the truth of the good news and brought many to saving faith and everlasting life during His ministry. Yes, these were the crimes of King Jesus. Loving righteousness and doing justice. So in looking at King Jesus upon the cross, I ask you, what good has the Lord Jesus Christ done for you personally? Has He ever delivered you from sin's terrible slavery? Has He ever brought you forth out of the natural tomb of your own spiritual deadness? Has He ever healed you of the awful disease of sin? Has He ever brought you by the good news of the gospel into life everlasting? Well, that is something that you need to carefully consider, because if you've not come to Christ, you spent all of last year in great danger. Because if you had perished, as some of our loved ones perished in 2021, you would be forever separated from all of God's people, forever separated from God, forever separated from that which is good. The Lord has been gracious to you to bring you into a new year. This is the year. This is the time to embrace Jesus Christ, to enter into Him by faith. This true title was read by many. We read there in verse 20, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city. And no matter whether they spoke Hebrew or Greek or Latin, they could read it. The priests read the title. Yes, they did. They read it, as verse 21 says, they read it with hatred and with shame. Look at verse 21. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm King of the Jews. They did not like the idea of an executed criminal being publicly declared to be their king. They detected Pilate's scorn against them in the very title. They could see in it that he was laughing at them in their impotence. And oh, how it reflected shame upon the Jews that they would murder their own king. How humiliating to them. Also, there was, no doubt, something of a stinging conviction in their consciences of their hypocrisy and of their sin pinching them, so that they tried to get Pilate to change the title. They were beginning to see, maybe just a little, that the crime was really their own. Oh, how God delights to turn the table on wicked persecutors. The Lord often has turned the tables on the wicked persecutors. Oh, may the Lord do that today around the world for our suffering brethren. Did you think about that when we were singing how God has supplied so abundantly for us in the year past by His incessant mercy fed? And think of our hungry brethren, those that are suffering and fleeing and hiding. Oh, may the Lord this very day be pleased to turn the tables against the persecutors of righteousness. Oh, for the kingdom of sin and evil and darkness to be brought down this very day. Oh, may God do it totally, finally, and gloriously. I want to point out in verse 22 that for once Pilate stood firmly. What a wavering man he had been in his career, and is evident in the gospel account. But now Pilate stands firmly. It was the overruling providence of God that caused Pilate at last to override the wishes of the malicious Jewish leaders. Look at verse 22. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. It's not going to be altered. It is what it is. Roman law supported him in that what was once published was to remain intact. Pilate himself, you know, tried on several occasions to release Christ, but had been prevented by the cruel Jewish leaders. It is so amazing. Think with me about this. It is so amazing that what Pilate wrote was the very inspired word of God. Sovereignly, mysteriously done by the Spirit of God
through a pagan.
Oh, the Lord had done it before. You go back to the book of Numbers, and there that wicked soothsayer, one having dealing with the powers of darkness, Balaam spoke some very wonderful words about our Savior. A star is going to arise. He did indeed. Yes, much later he did after that prophecy. But here, this inspired word, above the head of Jesus, the King of the Jews, was no doubt blessed to one of those thieves hanging beside him. Seeing that. For what did the thief say in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42? Those words above Jesus' head were blessed by Christ and by the Holy Spirit to the eternal salvation of one of the crucified thieves hanging on the cross beside Jesus. Remember what the thief said. He spoke of Christ as Lord of a kingdom. This king has a kingdom. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, that very hour, that thief entered the kingdom of God. He entered the kingdom of grace. He left the kingdom of nature and darkness and entered the kingdom of grace. And a few hours later, he entered the kingdom of glory. What did Jesus say? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise, in the most wonderful abode with me. We'll be together in that wonderful abode. Not some far distant place of darkness, but this day we'll be together in paradise. Hallelujah. How wonderful. So I ask you today, do you know Christ as your King? Who is he? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But even as we sing in that wonderful song, King of my life, I crown thee now. I want to ask you, is Christ's kingdom set up in your heart? Either you are living to King Jesus, or you're living to King Self. The only people that truly have Christ as their Savior are those that truly acknowledge Him as their Lord and as their King now in this world. Give your allegiance to King Jesus. Give your allegiance to Him first by faith, by trusting in Him for what He was doing there, hanging on that cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King, He was making atonement for all of our wretched sins. Believe on Him. Give your allegiance to Christ the King by faith, and then by love and by your obedience. Dear Christian, let us never be ashamed to acknowledge Christ as our King, even in the face of a world that despises Him and His sovereignty. Let us pray. And let us labor to see His kingdom extended. Let us earnestly, in this new year, faithfully use the spiritual means that God has given us for seeing His kingdom extended. And what are those means? Prayer and the Word of God. To see great progress in the advancement of Christ's kingdom on this earth. For the day is coming when the despised Nazarene who hung on that cross
will put down the last of his enemies. Then every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ the King is Lord over all. Let us pray together. We praise thee, King Jesus. Thou art highly exalted. We rejoice in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, our King. Lord, we pray that thou wilt please take the message of our Savior hanging there with that communication above the head of our Redeemer, declaring who he is. No criminal, but the King, the King, the King of the Jews, the King of all his blood-bought people, the King of the universe. Whether men want to acknowledge him or not, he is King over all, and they must bow in subjection to the great King of Kings. Lord, please cause precious needy souls to bow the knee, to bow the heart, to bow the life to King Jesus this day. We pray in his most almighty name. Amen.